Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, hello, hello. It's Private Talk Podcast, and we are back with another episode for season two. And I am very excited that today we have the lovely Jessica Rich on the couch. Hello, welcome.
Oh my God, welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming to Private Talk. I'm excited to get to know you a little bit more. You're a fabulous fashion designer. I love your shoes. I've seen your collections. I'm very excited to know all about you, but like, you know, the things that not everyone knows about you, you know?
Yes.
We want to tap into those, you know, those secret vaults that you have, Miss Jessica Rich, and let Private Talk know a little bit more about you.
Yeah, I love that. We always talk about, like, you know, the basic things everyone asks me. So, yeah, I'm excited.
But those are important, too, because that's why you are who you are. And so let's see what all these things are going on. So how are you today? Thank you for coming. Thank you for taking the busy day.
Oh, my power went out, but I'm here.
Well, the gods have opened way, and I'm glad that you made it. I'm glad that you're safe. I'm glad that you're here and going to talk with us. So how is it for, you know, having such, you know, a big collection that you do, and how is, like, how does it feel having some of the top stars, like, wear your shoes and, like, ask and reach out to you and do those things? Like, how does that make you feel?
It feels pretty, like, surreal, actually. It's like, you know how sometimes you're, like, later as a kid and, like, you're not even as a kid, but, like, just in life, you're like, oh, I want to do this and I want to do this. And when it actually happens, you're like, wait a minute, did I just do that?
It's like almost aha type of moment.
Yeah, like, wow. Meaning, like, whatever you set your life, like, your mind to, you can get it done. And I just want to be able to inspire anyone out there who has dreams, who, you know, gets discouraged, who wants to maybe not start a business, or like they feel like they don't need enough, they don't have enough funds to do so. Just do it. Just start.
Yeah. Sometimes you just, like, don't think about it. Just go out and just do it. Whatever it is, brick by brick, however it happens.
Literally.
That's for sure.
Exactly what I recommend, just starting.
So you recently just opened a store at the Beverly Center. Mm-hmm. How does that feel? Like, how is that big of an accomplishment? Like, actually not just website, because everything now is just like the internet based, and having an actual brick and mortar store, like, you about it.
Yeah, you know, I actually was on Melrose first. I started out with a small office down here, like maybe like a block away. And it was like a room like this big. And I thought that was perfect for me. And this is like in 2018. And then after we started outgrowing that room, I looked for a space on Melrose. And there was a space that was open that I was like, oh my God, I love this place. Like, can I please get the lease? And they told me the rent. And I was like, oh my God, it's so expensive.
That's when I first saw it. Like, I was like, when I passed by, I was like, oh, what's that?
Yay.
Yes.
And I was so scared to take that step. And my mom said, Jessica, you just have to do it and just not think about it, because you might go by that store later on and see another person there and wish you could have had it. So I did it. I took a step.
That's empowering, you know, being pushed like that without, you know, from a strong woman, you know, like that self too. It's because sometimes it's like you don't have that teetering, like, oh, let me do it. You'll just still think about it. And then it hasn't done it.
Right.
And if that didn't happen,
then I wouldn't be here. Yeah, because I did the store and I had that. It was open for like 2 years. And then the Beverly Center reached out to me and said they had some open vacancies. And I went to look at the vacancies they spoke about, and I gave me this incredible store next to Versace and Burberry. And I'm like, what?
That's amazing.
So it's such a great blessing.
So is that something that you always aspired to do, to be in the Beverly Center? Or is that something that came later on with everything? Is like, how does that feel? Because being, you know, by those big chain stores, not even a chain, like those big iconic stores, like that's a big, you know, achievement that we're going to give you. For that one too.
Yeah. Thank you. Honestly, that was never my goal, to be between those stores. I mean, I definitely wanted my notoriety later in life about, like, my business and how far I've come. But, like, to put between those two, I was like, whoa. Like, I really worked hard for this. You know what I mean? Like, they're not just leasing anyone that space.
For sure. You have to have lots of, not just clout, you know. You have to have to back up all those things.
You do.
All those many shoes. All those collections. All those things.
All the people. Yeah. No, but I definitely wanted to try them all, because I heard that the traffic was a lot better than Melrose. So that's definitely that we're experiencing. It's great traffic, it's great awareness, it's great, like, you have girls that come in that are going into, like, Fendi, and they're walking into my store because they're just where I'm at. So just definitely,
it's foot traffic, you know, it's a walking advertisement, and kind of you know, in a sense. And now that everything's picking up because of the pandemic, you know, it's, I'm sure that's a lot more business coming through, you know, the doors and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, we're finally getting back to normal shopping slowly. We're at like 25%.
Congrats.
Now,
that's a big step, you know, especially with all, you know, having to wait those things. Did that happen during the pandemic that you actually got your store?
Yeah, I shut down last March, and then we were just operating like office work behind the scenes there. And then I moved to the Beverly Center in November. Mm-hmm. So it was still like, it was barely open then, the mall. So it was like six people at a time in the store.
So who is the one celebrity that you have dressed and that has been like the biggest, like kind of like fangirl moment for yourself? Not for everybody else, but like for you, where it's like, oh yes. Like you maybe even designed it for that person, maybe had it in mind or something that kind of like came into fruition.
Oh my gosh. People always ask me this question, and I definitely can't single out any single celeb. I would say every single one has definitely made an impact and been an awing moment. Did I ever design anything specifically for someone? Yeah, I think I did design shoes for Kylie. Not, you know, in my mind, I'm like, okay, I see her wearing always.
It just fit with what was going on in the closet
at that time. And I'm like, let me hope if I drop these off, she'll wear them. And sure enough, she did. So I think just watching the stars and watching what they're wearing, what the trends are doing, what their styles are doing, just it helps out to know, you know.
So I have a question, and I have to know the answer. How many shoes do you personally have in your closet?
Oh, my God. I have less shoes in my closet than I do my website, to be honest.
Really? So you're like, you just keep, you give them away to everyone? You're not keeping anything for yourself?
You know what's crazy is, I you know, my customers come first, but more so I wear them a couple times and I just toss them because I design them so I can see a new pair all the time.
I can just imagine all these shoes and just like having, because me, I'm like, I'm a Gemini and I like, if I like something, I get like three of them. Same. Because I'm like, I'm going to wear them a lot and I want to have them. And because I have access to them, like yourself, I'd be like, okay, I need three of these, three of these. And then I guess because you do have access, it's a little easier too. But I just like, I still want to hoard some for myself.
Yeah, no, I like have them all like lined up, but I don't have all my styles, to be honest. And I'm really excited.
That's a shame. You need to think, crazy? You know, self-care. You need to like have those in a vault somewhere for you, Manchesca.
I know. I keep my own secret stash, my own shoes. We know what it's funny is that I used to wear my own shoes so much to the fact that, you know, I get it. I'm a designer, but I do enjoy other brands. Like tonight, I'm not wearing my shoes.
But it's good to switch it up and get that. But it's like also, you know, it's a walking average and I get that. But it's also, you know, you have those like good pieces that you do that you just have to like, you know, always have them on display.
That's true. That's true. And I definitely like, I've learned to filter out things I don't wear. So there's a lot of other shoes that I don't wear as much that I've been giving away and like closet sailing. I hate hoarder. I'm a hoarder. So I'll hoarder like shoes from like 5 years ago.
I was kind of like a guilty victim of that too sometimes where it's like I've had to have the push be like, do you really, when's the last time you wore this? And I'm actually at this stage right now in my closet because, you know, we were in the pandemic for so long and then things were kind of opening up and whatever. Now I'm like, I halfway shopped and then I stopped shopping and now I'm like, where do I have all my clothes? Right. Help me. Like, I feel like I built a whole closet. Like I took a whole room in my apartment and made into a closet. It looks like a Nordstrom's.
Same.
And I still feel like I have no clothes.
Right. Same.
No clothes.
Same.
I'm like, how do I walk in here? And I'm like,
nothing to wear.
Luxury problems. That's not really a problem. It's a good problem to have, but I think it's just time for me to shop. I think it's time for me to
shop. No, it's crazy you say that because I did the same thing and I you know what it is, girl? It's like you wear something on Instagram and you can't wear it.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
It's because you're photographed. Even like with me, like with the podcast, every episode, sometimes, you know, I can't rewear it, but it's like I can't really rewear it.
Right.
Like, so I got to make it really a moment. You got to sell that moment and you got to make it worth the
whole thing. And then it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have that problem too. That's like, maybe that's why our closets are like the same.
Same. Like I'm like looking like
twins.
Nothing I can.
I literally, it's a whole bedroom. It's a shame. Sometimes so I'm sad. Like, why? I'm shame.
You watch.
I don't feel shame, but I deserved it. All the things I did. That's right. Private talk.
Exactly.
I hope you're liking this episode. Make sure you subscribe, comment, and subscribe. Yeah, do all those things because it's gonna be a good one. I like it. So we talked about Nordstrom's. You just signed a deal with them and DSW.
Yeah.
How did that come into fruition? Talk about that. Like, did you just, I mean, that these are all big accomplishments that you have. Like, these are obviously something that you've been working for a long time and up to these things. But it's amazing that it's, you know, it's a time for you to celebrate you.
No, honestly, DSW emailed us back in like October and contacted us on the website. Hey, DSW, we'd love to put you on our website. I'm like, what? Oh, my God, this is insane. So we email the buyer
back.
That's
even better. Like, you know, not even, because it's like your product speaks for itself.
Right? Oh, my God. I was like, wow. So we got on the phone with her, and she's like, yeah, we want to put you in there for Black History Month for February. We found you on footwearnews.com, which is, I'm on there a lot. And, you know, we saw that you're an African-American designer, and we didn't even know. We'd love to get your stuff. So, boom, that's kind of how that happened. We're online with their site. And then as soon as I opened the Beverly Center, Nordstrom's called our phone. My employee was like, Jessica, that was Nordstrom's. I was like,
you're like, get out of here.
Are you serious? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, no. She's like, that's a buyer. She asked if we wholesaled. I'm like, do we wholesale? Of course we wholesale. So literally I called her back and I was freaking out because like she didn't answer the phone like the first 2 days. And I was like, oh my God, did I lose her? Did I have the right number? Did she write it down wrong? I thought
I should have answered the phone.
Yeah, like, oh my God. And I literally was like freaking out. And then finally she called me back. She said, sorry, we were in market. We were busy. Let's talk next week. And then it went really fast. Like when I'm talking, like it went from looking at our line sheets to us not telling. We didn't really tell them our price points at first of the wholesale, but we said, let's just see what they want first and then go from there. And when they ordered everything, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be a huge order. And it was a massive order. It was so much stress for us because we literally like made our factory work overtime to get it on time to them. And it got to the States on time, but then FedEx screwed up the entire delivery of it, like by 3 weeks. So 3 weeks late to Nordstrom's is like the worst thing you could do as a first time, you know, person. But they were very lenient and very understanding, and it's all in store now.
Just be like COVID. Like, yeah, COVID, like everything, COVID-19, yeah. Like that's the excuse for everybody to deliver. It's COVID.
COVID.
No, this is real. This is the truth. But it's like, that's really a disclaimer. COVID. This F, we're going to have a warning label.
COVID, shipping delays. Yeah. But yeah, they finally got everything like last week.
That's awesome. So, that's really cool. That's a really big accomplishment to have. Thank you. I'm proud of you for
sure.
Thank you so
much.
Really cool.
And I know that the buyers, I'm sorry, not the buyer, but the stores are telling me that the reaction's been really good, that they needed, like they always needed like a midpoint of like, above Steve Madden, but then under like Amina Mooney or something like that. Because girls don't always want to spend $700 on a shoe.
Yeah.
And they want to be a little bit more high end than,
Steve Madden. Still good quality. Because it's like, you know, that's a big, you know, like, I'm a shoe girl myself. So it's like, I don't like to spend, depending on what it is.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's all about, for me, it's like shoes or accessories. That's why I love them so much. Accessories are a part of the best part of an outfit. You can do it from jewelry to shoes.
Yeah.
But so it's like, depends on what it is. But for me, I also like the middle ground because it's like, I want to spend money, but I also want to wear it a couple of times. I don't want it to like, you know, that's why I feel like the ones I spend that are really high, like I know it's going to last.
Right.
If, you know, I'm not drunk and like falling over and scuffing them somewhere, you know, something happens, my dog, who knows, but yeah. So it's one of those things for me. It's like why I also like, I have several shoes from everything from, I mean, high end to low end to whatever. It just depends if they look hot and they're, you know, semi comfortable. And some of them are like the most more comfortable ones where it's like that middle point anyways.
Middle point.
It's that cushion.
The cushion. Literally. Yeah. There's no cushion in high end, like zero.
So talk about a little bit more of like, you know, being in the industry and like coming into as being the black female shoe designer coming up in this industry. Like how it was this, you know, was it struggles? Was it, you know, open doors? How, you know, talk about it.
No, it definitely wasn't open doors. It was more so like what I noticed mainly I would say is like, you know, I was this fresh designer out of nowhere. Like never, I was doing clothing at first. So I did have a clothing store at first online and people kind of knew me from that. And when I transitioned over to shoes and then I put all these girls in all my stuff, people were like, whoa, what's she like, how did she come up with this idea? And then everyone's copying me. And then next I set this trend of like this PVC trend. I did PVC shoes, like my whole line was called Transparent. It was called Transparent because I didn't want to like compete with a lane that I knew I wasn't even like involved in more than like a couple months.
Yeah.
I didn't want to think of designs. I just figured if I made everything clear, it'd be the easiest.
Sometimes basic is like all you need.
Right.
And people forget about that.
Yeah. That's kind of where my niche was. So then I became the popular PVC designer. And then from that, I started doing more designs with different fabrics and things like that. But that took me 2 years to get there because I was like,
there's levels, you know. Creative. But you were good at what you did. You know, when you came in, everybody liked it. You know, you grew into something. And sometimes it just takes that signature look and that signature thing to like rock it. And then again, like your name speaks for itself because it's kind of goes with like your style. Like you said, you're on with trends and you're doing these things where it's like, if you would wear it, your girlfriends would wear it. You kind of like... You know who's gonna buy. You know who's gonna be your buyer.
That's very true. That's kind of happened. So then, them finding out I was black or whatever, African American, it was like a little bit harder. Like I noticed that like I'd have a big celeb wear my stuff, but I wouldn't be covered on like press certain places. But then,
so did you find yourself kind of like hiding a little bit more behind because you didn't want to attach that to, or did you?
I kind of almost didn't tell. Like people knew. Like obviously, on my personal page, I'd promote obviously it's my collection, but on my brand page, I didn't really ever put that I was African American just because I was. Like, how would I become high-end without being typecasted and put into a bubble? Like, I kind of felt like, oh, yeah, she's cool, but she's African-American. She's not going to ever be high-end. That's kind of how I felt people would think about me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel how you could feel that way. But I feel like that's a shameful way, but I feel like it's society, in a sense, is makes you feel that way. But it's like you are high-end. You know, you're high-end from the beginning. It's just like when they tell you to hold on to something and they think that nobody has its worth, but you know what your worth is at the end of the day, and that's what makes it shine even brighter at the end. And that's kind of like why your blessings come into fruition and everything is coming that's good to you right now. It's for you sticking it out and being, you know, knowing that you had a good product, and even just your mindset and your attitude about it is really, you know, humbling and very cool to see someone come up through all those things and still come out really successful.
Thank you. Yeah, it was difficult. But now we're like, we are African-American.
I'm here. I'm staying. I'm here for sure. Yeah. You should. You know what I mean? For me, it's like, you should stand up. You should have your face. You should have, you know, your market. If that's who you are and what your brand stands for, is, it seems like to me is who you are, you know, yeah. And it's a part of, it stems from that. And that's, you know, you're African-American, right. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Thank you.
So you said that before about the major brands, like, copying all your things. How, what is that feeling like? Is that, like, you know, it's one of those things that it's, like, imitation is flattering, but it's not, you know, like,
you're, it used to, like, hurt me a lot. Yeah, oh, my God. I remember I would cry. I would be like, no way. I literally just put this out. You know what's kind of funny? It's, like, I design things, and I want it to be hot, and I know it would be hot, but then once I put it out and the world sees it, I'm like, dang it, why did I just give them the cool shoe, you know what
but
I
it's
mean?
Also, but you're also, you know, benefiting it as well. So, you know, how do you distinguish what you don't give up? Because I'm sure exactly. There's certain things that it's like when those moments come, like, yeah. How is that struggle? How does that, you know, pan
I
out?
Had to let it go. Like, one of my good friends is Carl Kanai. He's been a legend.
I love him. He was one of our first episodes on the show.
And I remember, and he'll never forget, he told me, Jessica, he's like, Jessica, you have to just keep going. Don't even think about when someone copies you. You're on to the next. No, you did it first. Like, you have the energy you spend on that, you can be taken from your creative. I'm like, you know what? You're right. And ever since that happened, now it's like, I don't care.
Yeah, that's good. You know, you have to, like, not dwell on the negative. And not that it's negative, but it's, again, but it's like imitation, you know, is flattering. But like you said, you did it first. You're on to the next one. They're just going to come bite your next move, your next doing what's going on.
Right.
So what do you think is the best advice you've ever been given?
My mom always tells me, she's the best advice always. My mom always tells me that just go for it. Like, don't think about it. Your gut instinct is going to probably try to steer you a different way. But whatever your initial thought was, like, should I wear the white top today or the black? If it was white first, wear the white. There's a reason why, you know.
So you always go with your first choice.
Always.
That's important to have, because I struggle with that myself. I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, you know, your own intuition, but it's like when you start to second guess it. And it's like the more you start to dwell on something, then you second guess your intuition. Exactly. And then it's like, which is it? And so that's that gray area. So if you were just listening to your first thing, working on that stuff.
But
it better, you know, but it's practicing, you know what I mean? It's like, it's something that may not come easy all the time, but you know, you still think about it.
Like, what if I didn't do it? And then, I'll just make sure I do
That's good advice, Mom. I like that.
Yeah, Mom has the best. I mean, whenever I don't listen to my mom's advice, it's never good, ever. She said, when you become a parent, you're going to know. I'm like, wow. It's insane. It's pretty insane.
So tell me something that everybody talks about and hypes up about, but you think is overrated.
Oh, my gosh. So many things. My God, Bitcoin and all this stuff, like cryptocurrencies. Like, not that it's overrated, but Jesus Christ. I gave money to, I invested money into Dogecoin.
Mm-hmm.
I put $4,000. It's so much money for me to do. I hate gambling. If it's my money, I hate it. But if it's someone else's money, I can spend money.
Roll it.
Yeah, roll it. Give me 10, you know?
Let's go.
But my own money, I'm like, oh, my God. So I put $4,000 and I lost all of it. And I'm like, my friend had just won. And like, the day I put it in, I lose. So it's like, I hate gambling. And I feel like, just stick with how you make money. Don't try to gamble.
So what was the hype and what made you be like, oh, I'm gonna do the fourth?
Yeah. Oh, like, because like, I think like, I don't know.
So tell us about, so you went in at what point, and did you like kind of like how you, because there's people that are still doing well on it.
It's the thing. So I went in, I think it was like at 60 cents or something like that. And then I pulled out when it was like 40. I don't know. I don't know how the gist is, how it works. My friend was running it for me, but he left all his money in. He like $30,000 he made. And if I had to like,
because it's one of those things you gotta like leave it in.
And I can't. I'm like, every day I'm like, what does it say?
Yeah, you're like, for me too. I'm not a gambler. I'm like, I worked hard for this money, and I am not about to give it up. And if I am, I'm gonna look at it here, and like, so I'm like checking numbers. Like, I'm a numbers person too, so I'm like, so like, I'm very like, I never got into it, but I wanted to. There was times and I was like, I don't even know how to get into it, or like whatever. And then I was just like, I don't know enough about it. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not a trader anyways. I just started, you know, investing into, like, in the market and things like that, too.
Right.
In a smaller scale and learning, like, little bits like that. But as far as that, I was like, I'm going to keep my coins over here. But people that, like, did really well. You know what I mean? So it's like, millions, you know, but
so it's a catch 22. I definitely am, like, I'm very smart with my money. I'm very, like, I'm a tight ass. I can be a tight ass. I'm sorry. Yeah. My mom trained me to be like that. Like,
that's not a bad thing, though. Know? I feel like, you know, you spend it, well, like, you know, where I'm sure that you want to, you know, that's, you know, what it is. But you work hard for it. So it's like, why just throw it away? But if somebody else is, sure.
Exactly.
If you want to throw yours away and mine for, well, like, wait to mine at the end. So what is one of your social media weaknesses?
Oh my God.
Are you a troller? Are you going to like memes? Are you like stalking people's pages? Which one? Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok?
I'm on Instagram all day long, but more so like because I'm trying to interact with my followers more, like when they write me comments and DMs and stuff like that. But for the most part, I think.
So it's all work related.
Yeah, it's usually work related, me just knowing what's going on in the world. But for me, like taking personal photos is so difficult. People think I'm a model. I'm like, no, I'm not a model. Like,
why? Because you don't think about it, or you think that you like don't look and you're good in your picture. Like, why is it hard for you to take a like Instagram? Like, people think that that's
it's the easiest so much thing. Work. Like, so I get paid from brand deals like every month, and like being on time, the exact day, the exact tag, the caption. If you miss a day, if you're, it's like, oh my God! Like, I got like some food yesterday. I had to make sure put 4 story posts within. I'm like, what if I can't eat that day? What if I forget? What if I'm here? Like, yo, and I'm like, oh my God, this is too hot.
I think I saw that post.
Yeah, it's really good food too. But I'm like,
but it's just the fact that it, like having to do everything with that thing when you're so busy already.
Yeah, that
so
part.
It's like you really have to like pencil it in, which is like, and then you like forget because you're already hungry, and then you're like, damn it,
I forgot. It was so cute. I already did.
We sound a lot alike. I feel like I'm
we're like the same.
I'm like my brain thinks like sometimes it's like uncertain other things, but if you shift gears because you do like thousands of different jobs in your head,
right?
You forget that one back there that you're like, damn it,
dang it, yeah.
So don't be mad at me.
I know. So these girls that have like millions of followers and they're like health junkies and they do all these things and makeup at 10 a.m. and I'm like, they have 3 cameras in their house with lighting and editors. I'm like, yo, I don't know how
to do it.
I cannot. When I wake up, I just
how do you afford to do all that?
Yeah,
I mean, that's expensive.
It's a lot.
That adds up.
So kudos to them.
Yes.
I'm just sticking to designing shoes.
So what advice would you give your younger self if you could?
This is
mom gives you a lot of good advice. I'm sure you have good advice inside of you too. What would you give your younger self?
You know what's funny is like I'm not saying that I'm perfect or anything, but that's the way I used to live my life, and I still live my life where I don't have things to tell myself. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Like I never live in regret. Like anything I've ever wanted to do, I did it. Like if I had $10 to my name and my rent was due tomorrow, I'd spend the $10 on burgers. Not care, like I'm, you know, what, I just
reckless.
You know, I am just like
reckless.
I dive away. You know what I'm saying?
But it always works out.
It always works out. God always has me a very Christian.
But have you always been like that?
I've always been like that
since you were a kid.
Entire life, yeah.
So you would tell her just keep doing the same thing, baby.
Yeah, just keep doing the same thing. And I would say maybe try to live a little bit more like in the moment, because if you're ever around me, I'm on 2 phones at a time. But that's the thing. I work from my phone. So I'm very blessed to get to this point in my life where I could be anywhere at any time and work, and I don't have to be anywhere.
Yeah.
So people have to respect that, and people just, oh my God, you're such.
It's a guilt thing sometimes.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, for me, it's like you do have to micromanage it to a point.
Right.
But then it's because it's like, okay, maybe at 7 or 8 o'clock, pick a time where it's like, okay, maybe I should put it down.
Right.
Because it's like I'm the same way. Like I work on my phone. Everything I do except for the podcast is on my phone. But it's like sometimes they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm really working. I'm not on, you know, sometimes it is an Instagram thing, but you're working, you're posting things or doing whatever.
Right.
And sometimes it's not, you know, so it just depends on what the guilt is. So it's for me, I'm like, okay, at this point when we're either eating or doing whatever, I'm gonna put it down.
Right.
But other time you are just
that's deal hard.
With it. You're gonna deal with it. But again, it's a work in progress because it's hard not to not make money or feel like you're missing out on something, or it's like that FOMO of like, where's the next this or whatever, or if I don't do this, like you said, you have all these checklists that you need to do that you're like, fuck, what if I do? But then it's also sometimes it's like, okay, to like really my machine to work properly, I really need to shut down.
Out.
You know what I mean? And that's for me with the pandemic, I feel like taught me a little bit more. I'm still on edge a little sometimes. I'm like, I was talking earlier, I was like, last week wasn't the busiest for me, but I had like the next 2 weeks were crazy. Right. And I was like, I found myself on the couch and I was like, man, I'm lazy. I'm this. I'm like, but I have so many things going on, but I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to sit here and do nothing because I deserve it.
No, I
know I've
that.
Been on this road for like 10 years of my life. Same. And the last year, because of the pandemic, was so the first time that I've actually stayed home the longest in my life. That I was like, who am I as a person? I'm like, I don't even know how to function in my home.
Yeah.
I didn't even ever, like, I was there probably 50% of the time.
Yeah.
And so I had to learn how to be a real person.
Yeah.
And learn how to do real relationships and not be like, I'm out. Like, you know, things. So it's a lot of personal growth, which is always amazing, especially this stage in my life. But definitely challenging of whatever. But those are also things of like what you put into yourself where it's like, oh, maybe I should have taken a bath or just turned it off or watched a whole fucking Netflix series and not give a fuck.
Wow. I watched so many Netflix series.
I've been Netflixed out, you know what I mean? But
yeah. Did you ever catch COVID?
I did not.
Oh, wow, you're lucky.
I did not. You caught COVID.
Back in July, yeah.
How was that for you? Was it?
It was mild, though.
Yeah, it wasn't something that took you out completely. You just kind of like a normal cold or something?
Mild, thank God, not from like anything. But yeah, I lost my taste and smell, but I got back within 4 days.
Okay.
I know how I got it. My friend came to my house. Literally, I had seen no one the entire COVID, not one person. My friend came over, dropped off a bottle of wine for me. That's when things are starting to kind of open up, maybe like, you know, end of like July for like a week. And he was there for 5 minutes. But when he was there, he was like, Jess, it's really hot in here. I'm like, really? But my place is always hot. I'm black. Everything's always hot, you know? So I was like, okay, I'll turn the air on. Turn the air on. He left. Next day, he's like, Jess, I'm so sick. Yeah, oh my God, I feel so shitty. I have really bad temperature. I'm like, oh my God, what's wrong?
You're like, we're in my house.
Yeah, he's like, go get tested. And then I was like, I'm fine. 4 days later, then I started feeling symptoms. Mm. Like cold, like kind of like achy sweats. Like, I'm like, oh, it's just a cold. And then boom, got cold.
Do you have anything like lingering effects afterwards?
No, like, I mean, you know, my smell was a little off for about a month, I'd say. It was like not as strong. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's still as strong as it was. Because okay.
I feel like everyone's been different. Like, I know for me, and like, I don't know. Maybe I've gotten it one time in my life and I didn't know about it, like whatever. But I mean, I'm pretty healthy. I take, you know, I'm on a like, I do help like, flaxseed oil, sea moss, like every day, like on a red, like for the last 6 months or so.
Oh, wow.
But even before then, I was still doing stuff like ginger, like all that stuff, whatever. So I don't know if it's just because of that or like I've gotten it before in January. Who knows? I don't know. But I've been lucky not to. But I feel like at this point in my life, like I will get it eventually sometimes, you know, but.
You're getting the vaccine?
I'm not running in line to go and jump and go and me do neither. It. But if I have to be forced to for travel purposes or whatever, then I will cross that bridge when it comes to it. But I'm not, I'm just like we said, I've been, you know, I've traveled a little bit, you know, not crazy like I normally would. But I have gone places and I haven't gotten it. And like I said, for what I do, it's working for me.
Right.
I'm so cautious. You know, I've always been like not a germaphobe, but even when I traveled before, because I traveled on that plane every single week.
Yeah. I cleaned
everything. I watched. I was mindful of what I did. You know what I mean? Just was things. I definitely washed my hands way more than I've ever in my life.
Same.
Which is crazy because it's like it kind of puts you back in the basics of things that you were like personal space, doing these things or whatever that you're like, oh, this is what like normal life should be and not just like greed and like everything being, you know, so, you know, boisterous about certain things. But you live and you learn. You know, it's definitely, I'm glad that things are starting to open up. But it's also one of those things too. It's like,
I don't want to open up.
You're like, I don't, I'm like, do I really want to go?
I don't want it to open up. Like
and I'm a homebody now.
I love being at home.
You know what I mean? So like, I've made my home my sanctuary of things. Yeah. So it's like, why leave? Whatever. Like, I like spending time with myself. Like, I'm pretty fun. Like,
I'm by myself.
You can FaceTime people.
You can regiment. You can do face masks.
Yeah, there's a lot. I found there's a lot of things you can do when you're at home. You're during COVID.
And
you don't have to even spend as much money as you once did.
Exactly.
But I still, you know, indulge, whatever. Yeah. But, you know, I have date nights. It's funny because now I'm like, on Friday, I'm like 9 o'clock in bed doing something. I'm like, man, my life's so different. I used to be like going to work at 9 p.m. and like being in a club hosting, doing things. I'm like, I'm going to go to sleep. I have no regrets. Yeah. You know, I had a lot of fun doing everything, but it's evolution of where you are and what you do in life.
That's really good, though. We have all learned to, like, be at home.
So with all those things, sometimes, you know, even with the pandemic going down or being, like, slowing things down, but you're still, like, you know, a designer. So for you, I'm sure it also gave you more time to design things or even get it, like, business-wise. What are your go-to strategies to kind of keep you focused on, like, the road to, like, success and getting your goals done and achieved?
My go-to strategies? I would say just, you know what's funny is I put out so many styles. Because I was kind of, like, on a mission to just, like, make sure that I put them out first before anyone else. Because I could see trends where they come. So
are you, like, a person who works, like, every hour of the day? Like, I could see you just working aimlessly trying to get shoes out there because you wanted to, like, prove a point to people that you knew.
That's how it was for the first years. Now this, like, last year, like, since COVID to now I've had so many styles. Now I'm being very particular about what I put out and when I put it out. And now, like, this year I haven't put out any shoes since November. So now
you feel happy about it.
But
it's a stress. You know what I mean? Where it's like you've done those things. Where it's like now it's like why shouldn't you make it a
like people are waiting for the next job. Like, not, that's what I kind of miss. Like, I kind of miss the customer being waiting for it because I used to put it out once a month, and so it's a new look of the month.
Rash in those shoes, and everybody be like, "Where are they at, Jessica? Give me those shoes."
Yeah, like some girl DM me, she's like, "Jess, isn't it about time for promotion?" I'm like, "Oh yeah."
Like, sorry. tap, Miss Jessica.
Yeah. So no, I think just doing now it's just kind of more about my personal life. Like, I'm getting older. I'm single. I'm, you know, I need a boyfriend. It's so hard to date in LA.
Okay, I was going to say, dating life. What's all that about?
Dating life is disaster.
So you're not on any, like, sites? You're not on anything?
Of course.
Like,
I'm on, the guy I'm dating right now, I actually met him on a site.
People are, so you are dating?
Yeah, I mean, I'm dating someone. Like, it's very fresh. Like, six dates in.
So what does that mean? Like, it's like, you obviously, if he's 5 or 6 dates in, and what kind of span? Like, a week? 2 weeks?
A month.
Okay.
So it's going pretty, like, steady right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're not exclusive, though?
Not exclusive, no.
So if private talk listeners out there, you still have a chance. So if you want to go and, like, you know, slide in her DMs, you know, maybe you have a chance, but you have to have a great resume. I might have to be, like, you know, the gatekeeper of those things, because I got my eye.
I love it. You know what it is? It's like, I'm very picky, and I have to be, obviously, because, you know,
there's,
I
nothing
can't
wrong with that.
Anybody.
Don't say that as a bad thing, girl. Yeah. Speak it out loud.
People always ask, why am I single? I'm like, well, it's not that easy to date me. Like, it is.
I'm like, speak for us, girl. Yeah. Let's hear it. Yeah. I'm single too. I mean, for me, like I said, I get dating life is weird. Like, but for me, like that, you said, how did you find this one now? You found him on a dating site?
On Hinge. Yeah.
On Hinge.
My girlfriend found a boyfriend on Hinge. We've been together for a year now. And she's like, Jess, try Hinge. I'm like, are you serious? I mean, I feel like.
But did people, like, know who you were? What did that make you feel, kind of, like, intimidated to know, like?
It's so funny. I've had a couple, that's the thing, the people that I met, I'm sure maybe people saw me on there and said, but people, I didn't match with them, so that,
okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but, like, I haven't had anyone say, like, oh, I know you, but then just one guy's like, oh, I know you. But it's like, he's like, why are you on here? I'm like, why? Instagram is so hard to meet people. It's all thirsty, like, crappy guys that I don't like. I'm so particular. My type is so to a T that if it's not that, I don't want it.
Describe it to us.
Yeah, like, it has to be, like, entrepreneurial, have to have your own business, or like not be strapped down to like
9 to 5.
I mean, it could be have a 9 to 5, it's fine, but it has to be like your own thing. You know what I mean? Because I've dated guys who don't have their own companies, and it's just hard for us.
So tied down to somebody else's idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because then we don't have a lot to talk about on a day-to-day basis.
Okay, that makes sense.
I want the same goals with my guy. We both want to do this. We both want to get a house. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No kids, preferably. Someone who's really good with their family. Someone that has, like, great style, that's, like, number one for me. Like, style, looks, is, like...
You don't want to be a stylist.
Yeah, I used to be a men's stylist, to be honest. And I'm very good at styling guys. So just someone has their own, like...
But you want to, like, make sure that he has it already put together. Exactly. Like, you're like, let me just go in your closet. You don't want to be, like, picking everything out for him.
Literally, no, you know? Someone who's, like, a gentleman, that's hard to find, too. I've been on dates with guys where I'm even walking on the right side of the street. I'm like, dude, why am I on the right side of the street?
You're old-fashioned. I like it.
So old-fashioned.
It should be that way, though. But those are, like, the things. It's like, some women, like, you say it like it's a negative thing. Like, if that's what you need and you want, then that's what you need and you deserve. Yeah. And there shouldn't be any, like, if diamonds are butts about
it. I'm just used to a certain way of being treated. All my exes treat me that way. So it's like, I can't go
down. It's a standard, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, and especially if that's what you like and from a man, because that's a man quality.
It's a man quality.
Then that's okay.
Because, like, people get it twisted. Like, I'm a boss and all that bull. And I'm thankful for that. But I'm also very submissive in my relationships. I let the man be the man. I'm not someone that's like, I've definitely had my speak about things like restaurants or what to do. I'll put my input, but I let the guy be the guy. And that's, I think, people get intimidated by. They think that I'm just like so alpha all the way that they don't have any room to come in. I'm like, no, I'm so chill.
Like, yeah, I feel like that's why, like, but those are the guys that are like the ones that don't need a shot, because it's like, if you're not willing to see that I have an other side, and if you can't be alpha too, and not alpha, like, what is the word, like, over egotistical alpha, because there's a level of like what your alpha can like be. Like, don't try to out alpha me, because let me be alpha when I need to be, but let me also be like, okay, thanks,
exactly,
you know, in a sense. But I feel like that's, you know, then they're not deserving.
Exactly.
So what, why is this one special? Why is he's on front, number 5, number 6 date? Like, what kept him around?
Let's see. Well, first of all, he's my type for the, like, physically everything type, but he has a great personality. His job's really interesting as well. We have a lot in common with that. And he's also consistent, like everyday text, everyday calls. How are you? Are you cool? Like,
is that your love language?
Yeah. Love language.
Words of affirmation.
Words of affirmation are my love language. Like, cutesy stuff. Also, I'm very giving. So, like, someone who's very giving is also very important. He's really into doing his family. Like, you know, he's allowed to date outside of his race, because I usually date interracially, and they can't usually date outside the races. So his parents approve of me being black. It's fine. Like, okay. So those type of things are very important.
So all the boxes are checking off.
Yeah, like a lot of them.
That's very fifth or sixth date, and you already get family approval. That's pretty going.
I mean, I haven't met his family, but what we had a conversation like, are you allowed to date black girls? He's like, yeah, my girl I was talking to before was black. Okay, perfect.
Okay, so
that's
like,
what it was.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I was like, wow, that's a fast track. Yeah, to, I know. Where are we going?
Where are we going?
So no. What do you think is one thing that men fuck up in relationships?
I would just say being honest. Because at the end of the day, we are women and we just know the truth. We can roll with it if it's, you call me and say this, as long as I know the truth. If you make me look crazy, if you lie to me and I find out later, it's just breaking trust.
What's making you look crazy, Justin?
Yeah. No, I'm saying.
What like, have you done? What's the craziest thing that you've done that made you look crazy because of a man situation?
No. None of my exes have ever put me in that situation, but I'm
but
saying.
But if it was that.
If it was that, oh gosh, like being married still and me not knowing about it, or like having like a baby mama or kids that I don't know about, or just you used to be in jail 95 times.
Yeah, all honesty more. Things.
Like, yeah, like. You're an ex-convict who smuggled money from fucking, I don't know, like.
I'm like, are these on your dating app? Where are these men coming from?
I'm just saying, those are things that was scary.
Turn off, like, for sure.
Yeah, like, you know, because I'm in the public eye, and like, I mean, the minute I post a picture of someone's like, oh my God, who is it? Like, I remember I have a lot of guy friends. Like, I have a lot of guy friends, and there's a guy that like likes me, but didn't really show me he likes me, and I posted this other guy, like, friend, oh, you're dating this? That's who your boyfriend is? Like, yo, slow down.
That's when they start getting mad. Yeah. And you're like, oh, well, why did you say something?
Like, now, so you think I'm just walking around with girls all day? No, I have guy friends.
It can go both ways. Sometimes you hear that, and you're like, please, I wish I had never heard that before.
Yeah.
Then I don't know what I did to.
Funny.
That's, yeah.
So, yeah, so I would hate to tag someone, and I was like, Jessica, did you know he had, like, five girls? I'm like, oh.
You're like, no, I didn't. Yeah, tagging someone's a big deal.
Huge.
Like, you know what I mean? On your
I'm end. More so for the girl. Okay, I'm a very confident woman, but I'm more so about this. When girls, because I know girls have really nice, good guys, and if they tag them, I know the girls be like, oh my God, who is he? What does he do? Like, they want to like.
They investigate.
Yeah, negative onto the relationship, yeah. And it ruins it.
You'll never see anyone I'm ever dating on my Instagram at all because it's nobody's business. I already give my life so much to like everything else that I was like, I have some things private. Like, yeah. I don't need to advertise it. Like, I don't not keep him around. He's not hidden anywhere. I mean, there's no guy out there at all, but I'm just saying he wouldn't be hidden under a rock or anything. But to my, you know, friends and family and whatever it is, like, that's cool. But to you know, the world, it's a persona, and that's Instagram life,
right?
You know what I mean? It's not reality of my whatever. So I keep mine very close. Everything that they get out of me lately is private talk, which is really cool because it's been, you know, a great platform for me to talk my shit and uncensoredness and learn a little bit more about me through my guests that I have, which is just in typical conversation. It's like girl talk and getting a little bit more intimate.
I love it. No, I definitely, if I get a boyfriend, then I'm definitely going to put him on there, but I'm not going to tag him.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You don't need to, like, advertise it. They'll still find it.
Think?
Yes, God. They will. Oh, girl, what do you think these Instagram, I mean, people have no.
I can't follow him now. I'll have to unfollow him. Because by the way.
You're sweating over there like, oh, damn it. I need to get him.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. That's really funny.
It's so sad.
No, it's not sad. What is your craziest encounter with a celebrity? Do you have any?
Craziest encounter. Oh my gosh.
Was people like rude to you? Did they tell you any, or like any, maybe they try to hit on you and you're like, oh, I don't know how to get out of this. Did, maybe just being,
I mean, I have a lot of celebrity friends. I dated a couple of celebrities actually, but I can't say too many who, but one's really known. So, I don't know if you guys probably know publicly, I dated Stephen Belafonte. Stephen Belafonte is Mel B's ex-husband, but when I dated him, he was fresh out of his marriage, so everyone thought that I ruined it and I broke it up. And I literally had known Stephen, even when he was married, but just as friends, I just knew him. And then after they broke up, we kind of connected, and then I was all over social media and all over the tabloids, like, Jessica Rich is getting beaten by Stephen. I'm like, first of all, you guys can't just believe what
and then rope
the
everything, yeah.
He's the most sweetest, down-to-earth guy you would ever meet, and he would never even, like, have an argument with me. Like, he hates everything you guys like see in tablets, he's opposite of that. So it's like goes to show you can't judge a book by its cover. And I had so many vlogs, like, oh my God, like how I was like, oh my gosh, people just go crazy what they read.
So you just got labeled like what it was because you this was the one it was the one after. So it needs to be like that whole thing.
Sorry, one more time.
It was like you were the one right after. Yeah. So it was like you got labeled like, oh, you broke them up. Yeah. Oh, you did this. And you're like, wait, I didn't even know.
And he's a wife beater in this. I'm like, no, she was the crazy one. I'll tell her to her face. She was the crazy one.
Yeah.
And it was totally not him. And everyone that's met Stefan has said the same thing. Like, oh my God, he's so down to earth. He's actually like Like probably a dream guy.
So you've never seen him act out of character, even when he was drunk, mad, or something, and like whatever. Because people sometimes get out of, you know, out of character, and not because it's makes him a bad person, but sometimes things happen or whatever. Maybe the other person's, you know, they're just fighting, and things happen, or alcohol, drugs, who knows? You never saw any kind of side where you were just like, it could slightly be true.
No, when he is drunk, you don't even know he's drunk. That's the scary part.
Those are the scary type. And you're like, when they tell you afterwards, you're like, damn it, I thought you were sober the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. He's one of my good friends. So, I mean, the reason why we didn't work out, and I mean, I don't know. We, at the time, it wasn't right. Like, he didn't want to settle down at the moment because he was still going through a crazy divorce. We still really cool friends.
So there's still a chance.
Still single. I saw him last week. Like, he's just a good friend of mine still. But I don't think Stefan will ever be ready to settle down again, though. That was 10 years of his life.
Yeah.
About it. So
I mean, it's a hard, you know, marriage is a difficult, you know, thing. Well, marriage, yes, is a difficult thing. But divorce after something that was so long of a marriage, whatever, and, you know, it is very, it shakes you up. Like, I'm divorced, and I was married for 3 years and together for 5. But it was still with that. It was, like, one of the hardest things I had to do, and it was my choice. But it was something that is, like, very... You see a lot of stuff, especially, you know, his was like super in the media and, you know, things like that. So it's like, you don't, if it's right, wrong, or anything going on, which is nobody business, but what their relationship and their family only, you still have to live it, even if it's not, you know what I mean? So it's like, you live it double, which is, you know, the unfortunate thing about how mainstream media is, and, you know, and sometimes they miss, you know, they portray things, unfortunately. What are your thoughts on, like, how do you feel mainstream media is? What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that it's a positive thing, negative thing? Do you think?
Mainstream media as far as, like, relationships?
Just in general.
I mean, mainstream media, it's good.
Because they have ways to construe any narrative.
They do. Like, I know a lot of friends that are close to Kanye and Kim, and, like, what they're going through and what they went through. Like, I know what's really going on, and, like, what they see on the media is completely opposite why they're breaking up. So it's, like, crazy how you just never know. But people get so, you know, like, stuck on what the media tells them. And no matter what they say, they just don't believe it. So
why are they breaking up, Jessica?
I can't tell you.
We want the truth.
Yeah, I signed an NDA. No, but honestly, it's just insane. Like, if I tell you your shoes are green, and they're really, it's like, you just have to, it's crazy.
Yeah. It's definitely one of those things that it's very manipulated, like, into how they want you to see anything, any situation, you know what I mean? Which, it's crazy how it can work in your favor and then not. You know, I've had a lot of people on the couch too, you know, where it's been good and bad, and, you know, and them seeing the difference. And again, at the end of the day, we're all people. We make mistakes. We, you know, we're real life. Like, this is our real lives. We're not, you know, doing things for TV, airtime, whatever. You know, things is, like, people go through things. They struggle from anything from relationship stuff to family things to personal work things. It just depends, you know. People need to just be more empathetic, I think, and then realize that we're, you know, the media sometimes portray things that it's not so shiny sometimes.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be so bad sometimes either.
Very true.
All right, Private Talk, I hope you are liking this episode. We're going to take a little bit of a break, and when we get back, we're going to play Truth with Texas, my favorite part.
Can't wait.
This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. It's time to snap out of it. Spring is here, and it's time to get sprung with Blue Chew. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, strong erections to combat all forms of ED. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to the door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com. Consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part? It's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problems here. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you or your partner could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code PRIVATETALK at checkout, just paying $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com. Promo code Private Talk to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. All right, Private Talk, we are back and we are ready for Truth with Texas. I'm excited. I've been enjoying this episode. I hope you guys have too. I hope you've been having fun.
I'm having so much fun. Yeah.
Are you ready to play Truth with Texas?
Super I'm ready. How do we play?
All right. So you're going to pick a card. You're going to pick each of the cards, and each one is going to mean a different type of question, which is going to be get to know you a little bit more intimately. We have private information needs to be coming out right now. Just Jessica Rich. But no, so it'll be a naughty question, a romantic question, a kinky question, and we'll just ride with it.
So I pick four?
Just pick one at a time, and okay. We'll see.
Got it. Okay. It's an ace.
Ace of diamonds. Okay, so the diamonds. It's a spicy question. They're all a little spicy. don't be shy.
No, never shy. Never okay. Shy.
Craziest place you've ever had sex?
In the woods.
Can you explain, elaborate a little bit on the story?
In the woods.
Were you camping or you just ran into the woods?
He's camping. Yeah, no way. No, we take this back to like my 20s. I literally was dating a guy and what were we doing? Oh, I know. His car broke down and we like pushed the car and then we were waiting for the tow truck. So as we're waiting for the tow truck, he just started like,
you're like, damn, I'm so horny. And it's like a porno movie. It's like, you know, the car breaks down, you're waiting for the mechanic and off in the woods.
Out of nowhere.
Hard dick just came about.
We're waiting for like an hour wait. So yeah, that was a fun, it was fun. It was fun.
Was it like
it was kind of suspenseful. Like,
was
God,
that watching. The first time you'd ever had sex outside?
Yes, first time.
Are you like an exhibitionist like that?
You know, I'm very kinky when it comes to, like, I'm down for whatever, like, you know, not whatever.
Whips
but, like,
and chains will, you know, say your name.
Don't like whips and chains. I don't like being cuffed or, like.
No, but you're doing them. Not to, like, you being chained. Like, you're doing it to them.
Have I done that?
You're going to be a mistress? You're going to be like, whoosh, with your whip. Get on your knees and serve me.
Now.
Mistress Rich, you know.
Mistress Rich. I like the name.
Mistress Rich.
I like the name.
It just rolls off the tongue.
It does. It rolls off. Yeah, no, I've definitely done kinky, something like that before. I've chained someone up before.
I'm sure you have some sexy costumes, like some black latex I can picture. Maybe I'm just having a sexual fantasy right now.
Yeah, like a nurse outfit.
No, you can't be a nurse because, you know, it has to be like dumb. Like black latex, you have fishnets, you know, like a little whip, you know.
The Catwoman
vibe.
Like
a dungeon vibe.
Got it.
You need to be like. I'll give you some pointers. Don't worry. I see where this is going for you.
Okay, love it.
All right, what are some completely like off-limit things in the bedroom? Like, you're like, absolutely, oh no, I will not do it. Maybe you've tried it or you will just won't try it.
No anal.
No anal ever?
Did once, never again.
Why? It was just something absolutely painful. I just hated it.
I used numbing cream. It still was a disaster.
And then your first time you used numbing cream?
Yeah, I had to. What do you mean?
But how did? Hold on. Hold up, Jessica. We're new friends here, but we're about to get into it.
I had to.
But this is my question, okay? But how do you, like, did you pre-plan the anal play? Well, how do you just be like, this is my first time, and wait, I have anal lube.
Oh, he requested it prior. Like, oh my God, let's try this. And I'm like, okay.
He must have a big dick.
It was small. It wasn't that crazy. But still, I just don't, it's nothing supposed to be meant to go in that area.
I don't understand how someone with a small dick is requesting anal. What is it called?
Anal sex, yeah.
No. The anal lube part. No, but you made it, it's numbing lube, right?
Numbing lube, yeah. It's called anal ease.
Anal ease. Okay, if I have a small, I have a small dick, I'm not asking anyone to.
Like seven. Seven's not that small.
Not small.
Yeah, 7 inches is not like
what tiny scale are you on? Like, if small is where seven starts, Jessica Rich.
Because most girls think like seven's small. Like seven's big for me, but
yeah, it's not small.
Yeah.
I mean, no. I mean, I've done porno in my life, you know, once or twice, several times. But yeah, seven's not small.
Yeah, it's like normal, right?
Yeah, I think average is like six. I think I could be lying though. I don't really know.
It was just so painful. I couldn't do it. The next day I tried to go to the bathroom to death. So I was like, never.
So you're like, no.
No.
Was this like,
it doesn't feel good at all. It's terrible.
It's like a technique. You know what I mean? Like for me, I'm not an anal person, whatever, but I have done it. And every time I have, I had to be like horny for it. I couldn't prepare. That's why I'm like, how do you prepare? You know, you have this on the side. I'm like, it just had to be like, I was really horny for it. And I just needed it. Like, but again,
your mind state.
Yeah. Like I just, but I couldn't, like if I premeditatedly know you want it, I don't want to do it. Pussy, my ass, everything will be dry.
Right.
I'm like, not happening today. Desert. Sorry, not happening.
Desert storm.
Not happening. All right, let's move it along. Let's get another one.
Okay.
So we're going to have an ace of what do we got?
Got another ace of hearts.
Hearts is romantic. Okay. Would you consider yourself a romantic?
I'm so romantic, like hopelessly romantic.
What is the most romantic thing someone has ever done for you?
Wow. I would say...
And if you want to tell us who, I won't be mad at you. And neither will private talk.
Gosh, I remember I was dating this guy. I'm all about like little cute small gestures. So dated this guy. He was like, I wasn't feeling that great that day. So he's like, and mind you, I've been dating him maybe like two weeks, right? Jess, what's wrong? I'm not feeling well. He's like, how about I send you to the spa? So he sent me to the spa and one of my favorite hotels, the Mandarin Oriental in New York, probably the best hotel in New York, and sent me there for the full day. We're talking like for 4 hours. I walk outside, it's 2 dozen roses on the freaking thing for me. I'm like, oh, what the heck? Like,
nice.
So sweet. And then
wet. Oh, your pussy is wet for sure.
Go shopping today, whatever you want, and sell me $1,000. I was like, oh my
definitely
God.
Definitely wet.
Done and done. That's the kind of thing, like, guys don't understand how the small things matter. Like,
it's gesture, yeah. Because it means you're going out of your way to make me feel good about it and not just something that just, like, you know, yeah. I like
just, like random. That's what I need.
The thoughts. Yeah. The thoughtfuls. Have you ever dated a woman?
You know, I've never dated a woman, but I've been with a woman twice.
Twice. Yeah. You like it, just, love it, hate it.
You know, it was
repeat,
it was
more offend.
Like, it was more like a fun thing, like, just for the moment. It wasn't anything that I could do, like,
but was it with, like, a guy and you and her, or was it just one-on-one?
Yeah, so one of my best friends, like, my guy wants me to like, do this thing with him. I'm like, what? It wasn't me having sex with him. It was just me and her, like, fooling around.
Have you had fooled around before with her?
No, never.
How do you start that conversation? Hey, we've never
She's like my best. Like, we talk about everything. It's like, girl.
Da-da-da. Yeah, but I talk a lot about with my best friends, but I don't know if I could be like, hey, I'm going to fuck you, and I've never fucked you.
But it was all bullshit. We didn't really do it. It was all all fake. My hair was here, but I wasn't doing
it. Okay, so you were acting.
It was for a show.
Like, don't get me wrong. I'll fuck somebody if I wanted to, but I would intentionally be like, hey, we're going to whatever. Because, like, with my girlfriends, like, even when I was in, when I did, you know, porn before, like, we never, like, people thought we would be fucking all the time. I never fucked ever any of these people. Like, it was like, if we worked together on set, it'd be a thing, but we never were out at a party doing whatever, and people be like thinking all kinds of like, nah, it's all your imagination.
Yeah,
and what the perception of what it is, like it's actually a job, and job's not right now, and so see you later. But you know what I mean? But so that's why for me it's like, I'm from Texas, so it's like being with girls was like very taboo. Like all my girlfriends, and a lot of them, I've made out with them, and they'd be like, the next day we were drunk, and then they'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, okay, sure, whatever.
Yeah, she was to deny it.
Sure, I liked it, even if you didn't. No, I'm kidding. I didn't know sexually about girls until like later on, where it like opened up, and I was like, oh,
yeah, I couldn't really be with a girl though. There's no way. I need a man. Like
me too. Smell like, I like being with girls, but for like in a relationship manner, it's like I need someone to alpha me.
Yes. And that's
hard to do.
That's hard to do. That's very hard to do, for sure.
All right, next one.
Okay, cool. Spain, I think, right?
All right, so it is a naughty question, which we're all
on. More naughty than the ones we're doing now?
I mean, they're all a little naughty. It's truth with Texas.
Got it.
All right, favorite place to have sex?
In the bed. I'm very traditional when it comes to that.
Doggy or missionary?
Missionary, for sure.
One night stand?
Never in life. Never had one.
Does size matter?
I mean, I don't like anything over 7. I'm sorry. I have a small.
So 7 is your number.
I just like, I'm very
tight. You said I have a small vagina.
Yeah, I'm just like, I like my tight vagina, you know?
Keep it tight. Keep it right.
Yes.
Oral sex, sloppy or clean?
Clean.
Have you ever squirted?
Never. Don't want to learn. Don't want to do it.
Don't want to do it. All right. Last question for you. Naughty.
Naughty. Like, all
right. What type of porn turns you on?
I don't watch porn, to be honest.
Never watched it.
I've watched it before, but it's not my thing.
So it's not something, if you were horny, you'd be like, ugh.
Never.
So are you like in one of those people that's like imagination? Like, are you thinking about past events? Are you like, what's in your Pandora box? Like, what are you masturbating to?
I would say, gosh, do I have to answer this question?
I mean, you could pass if you feel uncomfortable.
Can I pass on this one?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, it might be a little too.
All right, favorite sex toy?
Just vibrators.
Role play, yes or no?
Not really into it.
Last dirty dream you had?
Last dirty dream I had.
Or do you have dirty dreams? I never remember my dreams.
I don't really remember my dreams. I don't. I've never really had any good naughty dreams, no.
Have you ever been caught masturbating?
Never.
Sneaky.
I live alone for like 20 years.
Last question. What's the most number of times you've had sex in a day?
Three. Max. That was like very rare.
Have you ever had sex with multiple people in the same day?
No.
My God. It's fun sometimes.
Is it? Oh my God. I'm one person. I like the one guy. I'm very like traditional when it comes to that kind of thing.
Yeah. So you're not a one night stand type of person. Never. You're not kind of like any of those things.
I think you tested first. I don't even do anything without
that's
tests.
Smart.
Like, I'm for so sure. crazy with that. And I just like the same guy. I don't like to. Like,
there's nothing wrong
you
with
know
that.
What I mean,
don't shame yeah. yourself. Don't do it. That's nothing wrong with that.
Some
that's
girls
why
I know.
Mr. 5 and 6 date over there. He's still in the running. He's probably yeah. still. I don't know if he's been. You
haven't
know,
done anything
he's
yet.
He's dipped in the pond yet because he needs to go and do whatever. But, the, you know, there's a reason, and that's, you know, if that's your protocol, you're in a baby steps into what it is. But that's how you manifest a beautiful relationship.
Yeah, I just feel like all my relationships that I've had, like real boyfriend titles, have been slow roll, like, you know, dating for a couple months. And okay, now it's like an exclusive.
Yeah.
I don't want to date otherwise.
So do you think he'd be mad right now if you dated somebody else at this current moment? Like, if you want to date with somebody, and you, would you tell him?
I mean, if he asked me, I would be honest about it.
But you're not just going to indulge.
Yeah, I haven't been on a date with anyone. Because he's my full attention. Like, I mean, the people always say keep your options open. Of course, if someone texts me tomorrow, like, and like, I'm, you know, if I was
so there's still hope for you guys, but it seems like she's taken. I mean, just saying
I mean,
that.
I just like what I like, and like, I don't want to focus on anything.
I love that though. If that works for you, then that works for you. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
And well, then if it doesn't work out, then I'm okay, fine. Then I'm from energy,
and then you're on to the next
one.
But I wish you well.
Thank
I wish
you
a beautiful relationship. If it's this one or somebody
Thank
else is going to be a suitor for you, is going to best
so much
match
fun.
You. I appreciate you so much.
Yeah.
Please let us know where we can follow you, where we can support and buy your shoes and
oh
all
gosh.
Those things.
Yes. Catch me on JessicaRich.com and at Jessica Rich Collection. And my personal is Jessica Rich.
Awesome. All right, Private Talk, you heard it. I'm going to go purchase them myself because they're pretty sexy.
You're not
I check them
I'm
up.
Giving you. Thank you.
I love gifts too, but I will definitely support because I love supporting all my girls out there.
Thank
but
you.
All right, Private Talk, thanks for tuning in. Make sure that you like and subscribe and go follow her right now.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.